Okay, let's begin. We are up to Halacha Chaf Gimel. We are on page Mem Dalet. Simen Ayin Beis. Simen Ayin Beis, Halacha Chaf Gimel. Chayiv Kol Adam L'mashmesh Biv Godah B'Erev Shabbos Kodim Chashecha. Person is mechuyiv to check his pockets Erev Shabbos. Im Ein Nachat Tocha Bochem. If there's a, make sure there's a needle that's not inserted. Okay, this time, ancient times, a tailor, it was very common for a tailor to put his needle in his garment. It basically means that you have to check your pockets. It makes sure there's nothing in your pocket. Even the place where there's an erv. So there are many issues. Why a person has to check his garments, make sure that he should not carry, even if he's in a place where there's an erev, maybe next week he'll be in a place where there's not erev, or make sure there's something which is not muksa. So this is something obviously which is very important. Do halacha l'maaseh, the person taka walks out and he forgets, and he walks out and he discovers there's something in his pocket, is he chayiv to bring a carbon chatos? Absolutely not. It's called misasek. Okay, the person by mistake he carries on Shabbos, the avera is not as great as doing the sin of carrying by accident with something in your pocket. This would not require you to bring a carbon chatos b'sman shabbos hamikdash chayim, because it's together misasek. You're not even aware what you're doing. In order to be chayiv carbon chatos, you must be aware what you're doing and forget that today is Shabbos, or be aware what you're doing, but not realize that this type of act is forbidden on Shabbos. But when you don't even know what you're doing, I don't even realize that I'm carrying something in my pocket, that is a lower level of sin, and that does not require the bringing of a carbon chatas. But of course, a very good idea to make sure and check your pockets, there's nothing in your pocket. Some people, they don't even put things in their pocket on Shabbos, in their Shabbos clothing in general. They never put something in their Shabbos clothing, just in case they should not come to carry on Shabbos. Let's say you have buttons. Let's say you have buttons, extra buttons sewn into you. They make it right in the Tfilah Yom. They make an announcement to make sure that if you put something in your pocket over Yom Tov, you should make sure that nothing in your pocket in a place where there is no Erev or you don't use the Erev. Let's say you have buttons sewn into your pocket. You let it go out on Shabbos. Yes, anything that's mechubah to the garment, even those extra buttons that are sewed to your garment, b'diavad, you're allowed to go out into the street with them on Shabbos.
You still have a shadow about the Shabbos labels.
The Shabbos labels, of course, but it's part of the garment. That's part of the garment. It's stapled in. It's anything that's permanently attached to the garment is tufel to the garment, and it is not considered carrying.
As I said, the Mishnah verse says you can sew in a handkerchief.
If it's sewn in, how are you going to use it? No, it's not thread. Even if it's not thread, it's a big problem. Okay, the big problem was the feather in the cap. You know what that little rubber band is for? The wind, the little button at the end, you put it and take it off, put it on your jacket button, and if you had blows off, it'll stay attached to your body. But today it's perceived today more as style.
The big problem with the hat was where the feather.
That's a loop at the end, and you.
Why you're carrying a feather? It's part of the hat.
You put it on this, but it's this. You put it over here. Why is there a hole over here? Why is there? It's not even open anymore.
No. It's for the button.
It's for the button. Right. It's for the button. It's the button of your hat.
From your hat.
That's what it's for. See, my jacket, it's a cheap jacket, it's not even open. Just for show. It's not, it doesn't even open up. What? If it's for design, I think it's mutter. If it's for show, it's part of the style of your garment, it's mutter. A pin. Women, they wear jewelry, all these things. It's all part of the jewelry. It's all part of your malbush.
It's the problem was a feather in the hat.
Same thing. It's all design. It's all for show. Anything that anything doesn't matter. As long as it's strong enough that it won't get blown away by a normal wind, it's mutter. Okay, let's now begin the halachas of Amir Eliakim. The eiza oifen mutter. Next halacha simnayin gimel. The eiza oifen mutter. Lases kodim shabbos malachalu in Yehudi. Ulahashul lahaskir loy kalim ubo yud aleph. See, this is a very big sugya. I once heard someone say that a rabbi has to know the laws of Amir Eliakim inside out. One of the most important things the Rav has to know, you have to Hilchas Avelus, right? Hilchas Avelus, you have to know inside out, because those are very, very questions.
Well, those are the things you get a betina on, basically, on the Mila, on the Shabbos, on the things.
Well, it depends where. The traditional Yeshivas,
they...
Hilchas Shchita, Treifus, Taruvis, Bas B'cholav, Melicha. Okay, those are from the ancient, those are from the olden days. So it says, you have to know these things, the tradition. But practical rabbinics requires a Rav to know inside out the laws of Emil Yakum, the laws of Shabbos, the laws of Avelus, and laws of things which are practical. And have a master's in
sociology.
Dealing with people.
Rabbi Levine, yeah. Rabbis get shy of this. I want to name it after my Baba. It's a boy. How do I change names?
Oh, that's a tough question. If that's the proper thing to do.
Asking it as a question, but those
are the type of questions. Okay, let's see. Aleph. Also, lehaniach lenihud liashasel lishiasim locha liyisholim. A Jew is not allowed to allow a goy to melacha for Yisrael b'Shabbos. Okay, v'samchu. What is the source? Why is a Jew not allowed to tell a goy to do for him melacha on Shabbos? V'samchu al ha-pasak. We have a pasuk in Torah. V'chol melacha lo ye'oseh. It does not say in the Torah lo ya'aseh. You should not do, but lo ye'oseh. It may not be done, which means not only may you not do the melacha, it may not be done on your behalf by a non-Jew. So from this we use the nasmachta. This is a biblical source that a Jew may not ask a non-Jew to do on his behalf a melacha, because then he's violating this pasuk. Melacha is being done on his behalf. Now it's important to take note that this is not a din d'oraisa halacha. Even though Rashi seems to say, and there's a mechilta that seems to say that amiru la'akum, instructing a non-Jew to melacha on Shabbos, the melacha d'oraisa, the Ramban explicitly says that it's not d'oraisa. It's only a derabanan, telling a guy to yuf to melacha on Shabbos is only an isur midderabanan. And this pasuk that's quoted here, which is found in the Gemara, is only an asmachta. It's not real. It's not a 100% meant to be interpreted that a melacha may not be done on behalf of a Jew, on behalf of you by a non-Jew. It's an asmachta, something that we find a hint to in the Torah. But bottom line is, amir l'akum is only an isur midrabanan, and that is why there are a long list of leniencies with regard to amir l'akum. Since min ha-Torah, a Jew is allowed to instruct a non-Jew to do melacha, it's only an isur midrabanan. Based upon this asmachta, we have a long list of leniencies of allowing goyim to do for us melacha, which we'll discuss as we go through the halachas. But it's important to take note, some rishonim seem to say it's deraisa. Again, we don't pass like that, we pass like the Ramban. It's clear in halacha, it's midrabanan, and the pasuk that's quoted here by the kitzur is only an asmachta. Next. If you give over work, you give over something to a non-Jew to you on Shabbos, if he does it on Shabbos, it's okay, but there's a long list of conditions. He has five conditions. If you give something to a non-Jew, you instruct a non-Jew to do something, and the non-Jew will do this melach on your behalf on Shabbos, it's permitted, provided five conditions are met. Those five conditions span the next few halachas. Here he begins the first condition. The first condition is that the non-Jew take the object out of the home of the Jew on Shabbos. You're not instructing him to do it on the object, which the non-Jew will do, will work on, will be removed from the home of the Jew before Shabbos begins.
He has to remove it?
No, it doesn't make a difference. Anyone, even a Jew or non-Jew, but we're dealing here in a very specific example. We're giving him a block of wood. I'm giving you wood, and you're going to make the wood into a table. Let's make a very simple situation. You're going to make a table. So that's melacha deraisa. You're making a kli. It's boine. You're creating something. So the first thing is, don't transform the wood into a table in my home. You transform it from wood into a table in your factory, and the wood that you're going to use has to have been brought to your factory from before Shabbos. Now, there are many, many more conditions, obviously, which we're going to see in the next level. Let's first get a nice introduction by going through some of the Shionim, Mitzionim, Behalacha. So let's start. A lot of Inyan here. Aleph. Back in the previous page. Asu l'aniach liakam ayin beis Yosef. B'shem mechilta. The Dorish. Kabalacha lo yei osa bohem. V'loik siv loy tase. Does nasa yishna du melacha. L'ramis. Da'afilu alachem lo yei osa. V'sifuke misafkul l'beis Yosef. shami havi isu ze doyrais so eloi. The Beis Yosef as a subject, how do we pask? Like Rashi or like Ramban. The ayin v'mishnah berurah v'shar tzion sham demashu the mikra poskim to rak. But the bottom line is, it's only in the mishnah berurah is very clear. We only halach l'maisa it's a drabbanan which opens up for many leniencies. Base shiase melechas yisrael v'inyin lasos mitzchayim yisrael mamor l'chal shabbos shiyesh evsheres. What about doing melacha? Doing business in Yisrael Mumur L'chal Shabbos Sheish Efsher Shaydeza Yigrim L'chal Shabbos. Are you allowed to be in business with a partner who is a Mumur, a Jew, and is a Mumur L'chal Shabbos? A year it's Lifnei Iver. By dealing with him in business, it's inevitable that he's going to Moloch on Shabbos because of you. So what's Halacha? Ayin B'shut Eini Yitzchok Shekosav Shemutu La'asos Nisqar Al Yidei Ish Yehudi HaChoshel L'chal Shabbos V'loi Chayishinon Sheichal Shabbos B'mo'isa V'oivar Lifnei Iver. We're not concerned that you're going to cause him to be Mechal Shabbos. I'm giving him money, and the money that I'm giving him is going to buy merchandise on Shabbos. You don't have to take that into consideration, as long as you don't explicitly tell him to do on your behalf. You should tell him, if you have a partner who is Jewish, but is a Mumul Chal Shabbos, you have to make it very clear to him that you cannot be involved in doing any business related activities on your behalf on Shabbos. V'im yavra al tanai v'chal Shabbos b'mischar ze ein oz ein lo schoroi mimulachle b'Shabbos. And if he does, al tanai v'chal Shabbos ein lo schoroi, you have to make it very clear that you will not benefit from. You have to tell me there's going to be a penalty. The penalty is, if you're going to be Mechal Shabbos, I'm giving you money, you're in the business, and you're in control. If you violate my condition, then you will not receive payment for your service or on Shabbos because you violated the condition. So you have to make it explicitly very clear with a penalty. Then he'll be a gazlan because he's doing it shaloi kedin. The kevan the amrin and the af mishu chosh lechal Shabbos lo nechshar avur ze al iser gezel im kem emeil lo yichashin sheichal Shabbos ben mischar ze kevan the less le hano rak al yidei iser gezel lo nechshar al ze. So it seems to say that's enough, because a person, even a person who is nechshar al Shabbos, is not nechshar al gezel. If a person is known to be Mechal Shabbos Befarhesia, there's a very interesting idea. He's not Nechsha to be a Gazlan. So when it comes to matters of Geneva, you can trust him. Because of Geneva and Gzela, a person is embarrassed from his friends. When it comes to Chil Shabbos, he doesn't care. Because that's between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to Geneva and Gzela, that already he's embarrassed. So if you make a condition with your partner that you're not allowed to do Malacha on Shabbos, and if you do Malacha on Shabbos, then you are not entitled to compensation for your labor, you can trust him. You can trust that he's going to be honest, because if he's going to violate the condition, he will be a ganav for a gazlan, and that a person is believed to be is trusted not to steal from you. What?
Could it be just lehefach? In other words, the guy is mechal Shabbos. Everyone sees it, knows everything.
Yeah.
Ganav. No one knows that I'm stealing money.
Milsa David Ligluye. When it comes to Geneva, ultimately you get caught. A person is
wine store is open on Shabbos, everyone sees it.
Yeah.
No one sees me stealing money.
Okay, that's always a problem. But generally, so he's just asking a halacha question. The halacha question is, you are in business with a Jew who is a mumul chal Shabbos. So his question is, the same way you can't trust him for Shabbos, what's it going to help stipulating with your partner that you're not allowed to do work for the business on Shabbos, and if you do work on the business on Shabbos, you're not entitled to compensation?
What was the case? It wasn't the original case.
We're dealing with you have a business partner. Let's just here is the case. We're dealing with a Jew. We're dealing here with you have a partner.
Anaka who had a Jewish partner.
No, we're dealing here with two Jews. There's a Jew who's Shomer Shabbos and a Jew who's Mechal Shabbos.
So the problem is
how are you going to allow your friend, your partner to how can you work with him? He behind your back on Shabbos, he may do things for the business, be Mechal Shabbos, and by doing things in the business, you will be gaining from his Chil Shabbos. He'll also gain from his Chil Shabbos. So the solution is, you make a Tanai. You tell him, I'm religious, and therefore I don't want you doing anything on behalf of this business on Shabbos. So there has to be a penalty, and if you do violate this condition, there'll be a consequence. The consequence is that you're not going to receive compensation for your labor. How can you trust him? The same way you can't trust him not to be Mechal Shabbos, he's Jewish, and he doesn't care about Shabbos, how can you trust him that he's not going to secretly work for the business on Shabbos? The answer is, because if he's going to violate the condition, he'll be a gazlan. He's violating the contract. There's a contract, and the contract states that if you violate this condition, then you're not entitled to compensation. So the rule is, even though a person that's nechshad, Mechal Shabbos, is not nechshad to be a gazlan. Since there is a condition, and the condition has a penalty, then you can trust him that he's not going to be Mechal Shabbos. The ayin b'shut beis hayotzer b'yachad shesochar. Now, I don't know what this stands for. V'rechaim, some type of business. V'rechaim.
So it's like
a saw. Professional saw.
Okay. V'rechaim. V'nishtateif im echad mechal Shabbos.
A sawmill.
A sawmill. V'nishtateif im echad hamechal Shabbos. 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 V'achar shehinishtatva b'ksav osa hasheni b'cheskas hayod melachle b'shabbos. So what about the mashayu, the person actually violated the condition? So the question, are you allowed to take profit? You allowed to go take your paycheck because part of the business, part of the profits was due to chil Shabbos. Kosav shom sheyivat l'ashut v'zeyachakach yachzir l'ashtateif v'yidnu b'tchil shechetzio me'ashavua d'hain Yom Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, V'chatzi, Yom Dalet, V'hei, L'Hashomer Shabbos, V'achatzi, Hasheni, Yom Dalet, V'hei, Vov, V'Hashabbos, Yel, L'Hashem. So the solution here is the emperor says, Mechal Shabbos, you have to make a new Shutfis, and the new Shutfis says that all of the profits from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, half the week, and half of Wednesday goes to the Jew who's Shomer Shabbos, and the profits from the other half of the week go to the Mechal Shabbos. So you, the Shomer Shabbos, should not be gaining any money from Chil Shabbos. V'chol, if you just going to have a joint partnership where you take all the profits of the entire week and you split that, that's problematic because part of the melacha is being done on Shabbos. But if you go and you make, you structure the partnership in such a way where it's clear as day that you are not going to gain from Chil Shabbos, that is mutter. In other words, what you do with your Jew is the same thing you do with a non-Jew. That's going to be a discussion later on. The same thing what you do if you have a partner who's non-Jewish, the solution is to divide up the days of the week, or at least to give the non-Jew his work, whatever work is done on Shabbos goes to the non-Jew. And so same thing that you do with a non-Jew, you should do with a Jew who refuses to cooperate. If you have a partner who's Jewish and Mechal Shabbos, you should make structure the business the same way you would structure the business with a guy. The imiyev shalasas kain, let's say you can't do this. Nuchel lahater, b'shas atchak, sheyaskir chelkoi min ha-Shabbos le'ha'um akum sh'ovim b'mechun ha-zu. So you should do schiras. This is what you do. This we'll discuss later on of e-commerce. What you do is you go and you have a non-Jew. Bring a third partner into the business, and you have like a machir, like you sell chametz to a guy. You give him.
I think the guy who's working the machine.
You bring in a third partner into the business. That's what he means. He means you have over here, you have two partners, two Jews. One Jew Shomer Shabbos, one Jew Mechal Shabbos. And the Mechal Shabbos refuses to shut down the business on Shabbos. There's nothing, if it was only you own the business, so you'd shut down the business on Shabbos. You don't care, you'll give up malacha, you'll give up profits for one day. But being that you have a partner, he's a partner, a full-fledged partner, he refuses to shut down the business on Shabbos. And it's impossible to structure the business where you split the days. So the only solution is to bring in a third partner. Who's the third partner? A guy. And the guy will receive the profits for Shabbos. It does not mean you give the guy $1 million, you make $7 million, so you can give him all the money you make on Shabbos. It means you give a guy 25 cents. You give a guy $1. Okay, this will come later on when you have a business that operates on Shabbos, like e-commerce sites, l'chatchila, you should arrange it where you have a shutfus with the guy and you give a guy a token profit that you make for Shabbos, and that solves the problem. The guy will pay the workers like when it comes to taxes. Okay, this is not going into details. That mission will come to later on exactly on the structure. But we'll do the practical application of this. But basically, you have two partners. Bring in the third partner who is a guy and let him have the schar Shabbos to solve all the problems. I don't know what that stands for. Person is sitting over here, merchandise out of town. And this person, he's the middleman of whom Mechal Shabbos. I guess this, you know what the word stands for? This Yiddish word? He is the
expediter.
Yeah. The expediter, he is Mechal Shabbos. He's going to travel on Shabbos. He's going to do all these things on Shabbos. He's going to export all the goods on Mechal Shabbos. If you can't make a Tanai, then
just like eBay.
No, that's e-commerce. Okay, that's going to come to later on. There's a lot of new books have been written on this, what to do. But if you can't stipulate with him, then you can be makel. It doesn't say why you can be makel. It's not your doing. I'm not telling him to do it. He's doing it for his own
bit.
He's doing the sale, so but it's not mine. Since he does not have to see, this is not like the previous case. It's a factory. The factory is open all 7 days. The factory must, in order to keep up with production, you must have the factory open all 7 days. So there's no solution other than to bring in a non-Jewish partner into the business. But here you're dealing with something which does not require you to work all 7 days. You have a contract. This is Kablonis. We have it later on. He has to deliver the goods. You don't have to deliver the goods tomorrow. You can take a week. Do it at your leisure. You don't have to carry, you don't have to travel on Shabbos. You to deliver the goods from one location to the other location, you know, you can do it ground. You can do it 7 day shipping. It does not have to be overnight. If your partner, this Jew, this exporter, this person who's doing the shipping chooses to travel on Shabbos, it's not my fault. I did not force him to do it on Shabbos. He did it for his own benefit, for his own gain. We do not attribute the Chil Shabbos to the Mishaleach. Same exact thing. As long as it does not have to happen, he has the leeway where you can do it on Sunday, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you don't tell him to do it, and the other rabbi, you tell him not to do it. If he chooses to do it, that's his business. It's the Chil Shabbos is not attributed to the Mishaleach, to the one that sent him. The Ayin Mesefer Malam Lohil Shemat Losses the Dinoy L'Orich Din to a lawyer. He's Shalom Chal Shabbos. Okay, you hire a lawyer, a Jew who is a lawyer. Who is a Mechal Shabbos? Hagam Shekarva Dovah Shiasik B'Zeh Gam Shabbos. You know that the lawyer is going to work on Shabbos. Sheyelech Le'arkos, he's going to go to court. You know, the courts are closed on Shabbos, but let's say we're anyway go. V'Chal Shabbos Melech Zach Adaraisa. Or Abad Filawachi Mutter V'Heid Me'ein Yitzchak V'Habeis Yoitzah Hanal. He quotes the same sources because it's not a requirement. He's not forced to do it on Shabbos. So Atov Sheyist Ne'imol Shlo Lasik B'Dina B'Zeh B'Shabbos. L'chatchilo, you should stipulate with the lawyer. Don't do work for me on Shabbos. V'Im Yevsher Gam Ken Yesh. And if he doesn't refuses to listen to you, that's his business. It's not your problem because he doesn't have to. He can do it during the week.
A Jewish doctor?
Av sharefe bezmanenu mechalim Shabbos l'chol davar shebefuah. V'yesh locha shechal Shabbos l'bafia. It's a Jewish chapter. Mutu v'machmer locha shleligoy mechil Shabbos mokum shein nachutz tovel of bracha ayin sham. He doesn't explain. There's more to this. I do not know the answer. The ayin b'shur bar sham. The mutu l'haskir beisul l'chanus liyudi. Yehudi Safar Shemegaleach to a barber Shemegaleach B'yom Shabbos Kodesh B'fah Hesya Oil L'shom Mechal Shabbos Kodesh Mekash. You want to go and you want to rent out your store to a barber who's going to operate on Shabbos or to any other business which is operational on Shabbos. Why? Oh, by leasing my property to a person that's Mechal Shabbos B'fah Hesya, why is that called Lefnei Iver? V'lekam Yishum Misayel Levi Aver Elim Kein B'shas Si'u Oysa Ha'isra Miyad Avlam Eino Oysa Ha'isra Miyad Shari Kimasha Kosav Ha'ak Sav Sefer. He seems to say, as long as you're not actually helping him do the malacha, it's not your business. Whatever he does, I am not telling him to mechal Shabbos. He's doing it on his own. He does not have to do it, even though it's b'fer hesya. It's not my doing. It's not my doing. I'm not responsible. The shalshuv is being yitzir ve'od the loy also elahecha shabeguf hadavish neitzim lechaver yaso iser. Where you actually give him, you actually assist him in the malacha. If you actually assist him in mechal Shabbos, that's called misel aver. But if you're just leasing him property, and he on his own enters into this store on Shabbos, it's Mechal Shabbos, you're too far removed from what is occurring to say that the Ma'avera is attributed to the one that enabled it to happen. What am I doing? I lease property. The property that I lease to, you can sit there and you can learn Torah the whole Shabbos. You're choosing to use this location to be Mechal Shabbos? I'm not responsible. That's not my business. You do whatever you want. It's like you go and you lease someone a hotel, you own a hotel, you own real estate, and people do in the hotel, they do the worst out there as possible. You're responsible. I own an apartment building. I'm renting out apartments. I'm responsible for the things that they do behind closed doors. I'm responsible. Similar over here. If I'm going to listen to your property, you mean Mechal Shabbos, even Mechal Shabbos Behesia, I'm not responsible for that Aveira. The Ayin B'Shud, Arugas Abos M'Shel Luzu, M'Shel Luzu, or Mitzad Eich Sh'Oser, B'im Yodri Mo B'Yachad, he disagrees, he holds to some degree. If you can prevent him from doing malacha b'far hesi, you should do so. And you should distance yourself from a shochin ra. If you own the property, it's not proper to lease it to someone that's going to mechal Shabbos. V'chein kol sabashud marshak. V'im lo yafsid hamaskir harbe, lo yaskir lo ela behefsid. If you have an alternative, you have another person you can lease the property to mechal Shabbos, tavel abrocha, not to lease your property to people in mechal Shabbos. Yes, the whole kill unless the Hefson Godel. Yes, like if you walk in your Bama Hasecha Kodbasu Shrifta Hanus Bishabis, he says though, but if you don't advance, if you clearly aware in advance that the person you're running to is going to Michal Shabbos and he's Jewish, us also la Haskaloch Mavur, like he explains, Vuhula Beferish Arminan, all of these Asudin. Ayin Sham B'Taisfes, like it says there, that Beferish Asurin. Any time that it's explicit that the block is going to be done, then it's Asur. Ayin Sham B'Shud Ma'asham, the Asur L'Hoshud B'Veis HaChulim Es Ha Penkos L'Haroifah Mechal Shabbos Sheikhtav Lo Bo Shemos HaChulim. You're not allowed to give the notebook. You're not allowed to hand over the chart. You can't hand the chart to the doctor who is Jewish to write things on the chart. Avul Hachin Sham HaPinkos Rev Shabbos Shish L'Hakel D'Messiah Kodim Shagiyaz Man Isur Lekum Mishum Messiah Lev Rabbi. But if you're going to prepare the charts before Shabbos, so you're not actually giving the doctor the chart to write it, but you're just putting it in place before Shabbos, and you know on Shabbos a Jewish doctor who's not religious will come right down. That is, you one step remove its mutter. Okay, all these things obviously have to be are very complex, and are today to a certain degree it's a lot better today because today everything is on computer. Right, today, I think even someone told me, I was speaking yesterday to a doctor, Maimonides, he told me they just switched over Maimonides, they still use a lot of charts. Right, you go to Maimonides in the hospital in Manhattan, everything there has been computerized for years already. But in Borough Park, Maimonides, they're still using charts. The last time I was there, not so long ago, so I spoke to one of the doctors yesterday, who just mentioned to me that now he has to work so many more hours because they're going, everything is now is being converted into the computer, like all the hospitals in Manhattan. And until the people learn the system, it's a lot of work. So entering information to a computer is not a malacha deraisa. Writing down on a chart is a malacha deraisa. It's mamish ksiva. Now, right, they used to have all these things that people who were Shom Shabbos residents, see all these in Eretz Yisrael. They use an invisible link. It only lasts 24 hours. It's a tremendous tircha. When Shabbos is over, you have to run back to the hospital and rewrite everything on the charts. You've got to have your mind. It's not so practical, even though they make it sound like it's fact. You can have a Shom Shabbos residency, you just write with an invisible link. It's not so simple. But now it's getting easier because since almost all the hospitals now are all electronic, everything on the computer, to enter information into a computer to write a report on Shabbos and the computer is not Melacha D'oraisa. That's at best most Melacha D'rabbanan, if even that. And therefore, there are a lot of kulas b'zman hazeh. The ayin b'shudin yitzin the mutlit lahatvis sefer l'uman sheesh l'poilam yisraelim af shidivs b'shabbos leka b'sil av aveiru kevin shu noisim k'idim aschol aveiru ayin sham. Everyone knows Hebrew publishing. It's a known fact that the chumashim, they were old chumashim, were printed on Shabbos. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
They were printed on Shabbos. So many people strongly objected. They strongly objected to using those chumashim. It's not technically usher. It's not, over here, Yigimamashi quotes the Shafna ben Yitzion that lechatchila you're allowed to go to print, even you know the people are going to do melacha for the same exact reason, because since you're not telling them to print on Shabbos, and they don't, the time is not tight where they have to print on Shabbos in order to get paid, they can print when Shabbos is over. If they choose to do so, that's not your problem, even if it's Jews who are doing so on Shabbos. That's why they were matir. That's why it was mutter. That's why.
Still do it.
Not anymore. No. Today, what?
Some of your that you have says in the back, nitvis, not lo nitvis b'shabbos.
Which swam are you talking about that I have?
Today's swam. Which swam?
Today it doesn't say that any safer. It says in the Sefer it was not printed on Shabbos.
That it was not printed on Shabbos.
It was not printed on Shabbos?
Huh?
Of course not. What do you mean? Today they couldn't get away with it. Today they couldn't get away with it. Today either it's printed by Goyim, so it's much less of an issue, and all the printing is done, a lot of printing is done in Eretz Yisrael, where they wouldn't tolerate it being printed on Shabbos.
Now, there was another problem, the paper. They used to have a paper factory.
Yeah.
They ran
24/7. On
Shabbos. So they used to be marked that they would import paper.
Only paper that was not used on Shabbos. Okay, but this is I remember very clearly, many, many years ago, now it's in Chaim Berlin, so they had their old chumashim, the Hebrew, those Hebrew, and there was somebody that made a, and someone went to the effort, the chumash were falling apart, to rebind some of those old, remember those old chumash, those blue chumashim, everyone had them. I remember those blue, they were thin, those chumashim. So those are the chumashim that were everyone had them. But it was known that they were, some of them were printed on Shabbos. So someone objected, why are you spending money to bind and to repair these old chumashim when just for a few more dollars you can get a new chumash? And the old chumashim, anyway, part of his protest was, there's a chashad, they were printed on Shabbos, so even though it's mutter, zila be milsa, it's not the right thing to come to shul on Shabbos, to use a chumash that was the chil Shabbos, Jewish people will be machal Shabbos from the chumash. Okay, it's mutter technically speaking, but just for a few more dollars to buy a new chumash, it's not kedai to use those chumashim anymore. That was the point that he made. All right. The yonim elu ayin ol b'magen avram over ber hetev sham v'ayin b'shut mahari v'shut maharam shik v'shut nete shirek v'shut naharei afar simon v'shut all these shashul sham v'shut. I wish I knew exactly who the v'shut base shlomo v'shut levush mordechai v'chelik base simon shesh mem noitim le'isur v'yesh mekil v'yinyonim mahanal. This is a very complex halach issue when you know for a fact that things are being done on Shabbos by Jews who are in Mechale Shabbos. When is it mutter and when is it aser? The Chiluk Edeos and the basic idea is you can never generalize. Every situation is different. Next, Gimel, the Shabbos.
You order something by eBay.
That we're going to discuss. No, that's Leah.
And you ordered by a phone guy.
Yeah.
But the delivery, you have no control. Suddenly it shops, the bell rings, and you...
Okay, that's the delivery. That is the delivery. That, you have no control. That's the delivery. That is the question. If she asked, you have to wait. Another. If it's, let's say the delivery man is Jewish, and let's say you know for a fact that it was delivered by a Jew, Michal Shabbos, is there an Indian to wait another day? B'chdei Shiyasu. They delivered on Shabbos, so you should really wait until Monday or Tuesday to be Nene. What?
He doesn't do a malacha.
But it was only brought to you. It was only arrived. The only reason why you're able to derive benefit from this new object that you receive by a pair of clothing.
Shaila, if someone brings from outside the Eruv food,
So do you have to wait b'chnei shiyasu?
He doesn't do any amalacha of the food. He just brings it out.
It brings the b'chnei outside of the Erev. So do you have to wait b'chnei shiyasu?
You don't have to wait.
Okay, it depends. Every situation is different. I don't know the answer to all these questions.
He doesn't do any malacha with the item. He doesn't.
Look about transferring the item. You don't do malacha to fashion the item. Okay. So you made the item. You made the amishas. But over here, it's only a question of shipping. It's only a question of shipping. So then you don't have to even wait. All right, there's another. I'll just tell you a personal story. I once had a situation where we had custom made mezuzos made from Jerusalem stone. Okay, so I don't know if it was Jerusalem. I don't remember exactly what this. I don't know if it was Jerusalem stone, but it was a custom-made mezuzah, where the mezuzah the it was out somewhere. I don't know, out somewhere in the middle of the United States, out west somewhere, and we ordered online. We got a hold of these people through eBay, and we made contact with them, and they had in their possession these stones, and that's what they did. They cut the stones, and they were going to make mezuzahs. They were going to chisel out the inside of the stone so you can put a mezuzah. And then we were going to put on the outside, we ordered custom-made shins. These beautiful shins we got, and they were going to be glued onto the outside. And we started discussing, we negotiated, it was a very large order. We started, and we called the people, we got in contact with them. And then they said, what is this about? What's the shin? And we told them it's a religious item which is used... on the door, or we put inside a scroll. So the person says, guess I'm Jewish. I'm totally not religious. Maybe he mentioned that being Reform. And he was very interested, he was very fascinated. And I remember it was a rush, and we needed this for an event. The beginning of the next week, and everything dragged out, and it was like Thursday or... And we were in a rush. And we just went ahead with the order. And then we realized... You know, he's probably doing it on Shabbos. And sure enough, after Shabbos was over, we called him and said, Did you do this on Saturday? And it was to chisel out the inside? Because yes, he did. So the person who sponsored this, that's the whole story of what this was all about. The person who sponsored was very disturbed that it was done on Shabbos. We asked the Shaila, and he said, it's a mutter. The Rav, we asked the Shaila, and the Rav says, it's okay, it's mutter, but you know, it's nice. All right, but the person who sponsored this thing was very, very disturbed. So he said we should contact the person and ask him how much he wants to do it again. Because we already get... So we called him up. I remember I called him up and I spoke to him. And I told him the whole, I explained to him, it's Shabbos, and you're Jewish, and the Jewish law. So he was very sensitive to this issue. So he said, I can't do it for free. Because the materials cost money and the machines cost money, but I'm very sensitive to the issue, and I'll do it for you at cost. I'll redo the entire run at cost. And indeed, and he already shipped the old stuff. He already shipped it. It was already shipped, and he did it again. The sponsor paid a significant amount of money to do it again. It's all a chumer because Mikra didn't was mutter. It was mutter. He did it again at cost. And I remember when the first shipment came, we threw it in the garbage. That was the instruction. He paid for it. That's what he wanted. He was a wealthy person, and he was sensitive to this issue. It was a religious ceremony. Whatever the whole story was for a seam. It was for a seam. He was making a seam in honor of a yard site. That was the whole story, and he wanted to give everyone a gift, and the seam had to do with the mezuzah. And it was so we threw it in the garbage. And the next shipment came in. And his drasha, when he made his drasha, he spoke, he related the entire story. That was the highlight of his drasha. How he felt a zehirus in Shabbos. And the Rav was there. The Rav who passed him, it's mutter, told him, he said, it's mutter. But the Rav said, even though it's mutter, it's not, what's the Yiddish, it's zugepasst. It's not for someone like you, what? Pasnish, for someone like you, that a mezuzah you're going to put on your door, made from Jerusalem stone, and you're going to kiss the mezuzah, and it's going to be a zecher for this very significant event, that the mezuzah should have been chiseled, should have been crafted through Chil Shabbos. It's mutter. Technically speaking, I could bring you 10 rayas that it's mutter. But it's not the right thing. And he gave credit, he gave very honorable credit to this craftsman who has totally no shaykhas, and he was definitely moved. He was definitely, his roots, his religious roots were awakened when this whole give and take occurred. So you never know how far this Kiddush Shabbos go. Yeah, what do you want?
He became a Baal Tshuva.
He didn't become a Baal Tshuva. He did. Maybe if we worked on him. I always felt guilty that we should have really followed through and you know, try to at least open him up a little bit more. Yeah.
You have something that you have a print on the bed. Who's doing it? You can have a Chumash.
That's printed on demand. That's the new technology. I know my father's book was republished on called Create Space. It's very easy. Today it's print on demand. It's an unbelievable new technology. That's the future.
They do it because they have warehouse.
No warehouse. On they have now kiosks in airports. There are kiosks in airports where you go. There's a computer screen. It's unbelievable. You got to see it to believe it. You got to see it to believe it. I know someone in Chaim. He worked years ago for Amazon, for Barnes and Nobles. He was the lead. He's a computer expert. He was on the team designing one of these kiosks for Barnes and Nobles. You go to some airports. It's a computer, and they basically have a catalog of hundreds of thousands of books. Any book you can possibly want. And you go on the computer, which book you want, you put in your credit card, you press a few buttons, and the book and the machine spits out the book.
Bound.
Unbelievable.
Soft-covered.
No, $15.
Same as it would be?
Soft cover. Only soft cover. Even Create Space, only makes soft cover. There's no hard cover that I know of yet.
Print on demand
is only soft cover. There is no hard cover that I know of yet. The last time I looked into this about a year ago, I was very into this. Only soft cover. It's amazing. On demand, the machine in the airport.
I understand, but I just can't believe
it. Spits it out.
How long does it take?
A process.
A few minutes.
An assembly line.
A few minutes. What?
It could be cheaper than an assembly line.
Yeah, you have to have a warehouse. Yeah, you have to have a warehouse to store all of these sarm. Who needs you? Just on demand. My father has 7 books. One of my father's books he republished with Create Space, which basically means the publisher gave up the rights. He let my father have the rights on the book, and the book was reformatted as a PDF file. There were other things that had to be done to get it ready, and the cover had to be redone. And basically, you go online, and exactly you order the book, and in the factory the book is printed and it's sent the next day. It's sent immediately. You can have it overnight. It's printed on demand, and you can't tell the difference between this book and one of the originals that was published in the traditional way.
You used to do it for dissertations, also.
On demand.
On demand.
Bound. Not just.
It was not on demand.
What?
Dissertations.
They
printed it for you, but it wasn't done, in real time.
How did they print it? They kept it in the warehouse? They did not keep it in the warehouse.
No, what they did is they took it, and 3 days later they printed it, and they shipped it to you.
Right, so this is the same thing.
No, this is on demand, as you said.
So it prints it right away instead of...
Okay, it's very late. Let's stop over here.